Would you say this with me?
I say
that this region,
is in revival.
The blind see.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
Thousands and thousands
are born again.
In this region.
Through this outpouring.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you, glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.
We
exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You cannot add anything to what my son did. But the one thing that you can do,
Jesus,
is you can believe and you can receive all that he did.
Just lift up those hands and just magnify him.
Thank you, Jesus.
We glorify you.
Thank
you. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, exalt you, exalt you, exalt you.
Thank you for your love, Father.
Jesus,
I serve. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
It's a grace of it. Just kind of letting me know that there's a one or two and maybe a few. That place of it's a real strong decision-making process. There's a place where, in fact, you feel like you're at an impasse and you really don't know. Sometimes it feels like you don't know how you're going to make it to tomorrow. There's something he can do about that. In a moment's time, he can instill a hope. It takes you not only past today, it can take you way into the next part of your life. It can give you a direction so strong that right now you might feel like you don't want to pray, do anything. It seems to be a place of hopelessness or a place of kind of despair, like, I don't even know how to proceed past the present, even with all I know. He's here for you for change. So if that's you, why don't you step out? If that's you, why don't you go ahead? There's a grace here. I don't think it's just for one. I think it's for more than one. So come on. The rest of you can continue to pray, sitting or standing, it doesn't matter. I'm going to need some prayer people. I exalt you, Jesus. Jesus, I praise and glorify you. Now you're worthy, Jesus. So worthy, Jesus. No, he can put all this back. You don't have to start over again. You just have to go forward. The grace that's on you right now, it's coming to you. Just receive it. Just receive it. It's not starting over. It's going forward in him. That's it. So what do you think's coming on you right now, Jesus? Just release it now. Jesus, there it is. And so can it. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody else? Your decision-making point in your life? Just come on down and bathe in some of that grace. Hallelujah. That's the better part of it. Father, I love you and worship you and glorify you. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. Heard the Lord say, all I ever have for you too. And then he expanded it to the whole body is your best. But I brought you in because it was the best that life had was for me to offer. My son, and your hunger has spurred more and more of that internal growth. And anytime that I bring forth change, it's always for your best. It's always for your best and for my best with you to celebrate what I'll do for eternity, not only in you but through you, saith the Spirit of grace. So your trust will continue to grow, and these kinds of installments will be all the more strength towards that trust. For the trust is not, it's not in a hopeless, as you said, it's not in a hopeless place, and that's good. But it'll gain momentum, a stalwardness, a strength, a stability, a case-hardened steel that absolutely is impenetrable against doubt or fear, that the decisions that will be made for your best and for their best, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Just keep doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. Just keep doing what you're doing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We release that grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've seen him quite a bit lately. So lift up those hands. Jesus, all things are possible. Oh, we thank you for deliverance. Jesus, now. Oh, thank you, Lord. That thing is one of these days is going to be enough authority on both sides of the coin to cast that thing out forever. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw him moving real strong on your behalf as well, little one. Oh, God, I saw some fear extracted that had been there almost for a lifetime in a freedom. You're stepping over really into the first few phases that you'll ever find about your ministry. So Jesus, now, give your glory. There's going to come a relaxation and leaning on him like never before. It's already even began, even before this prayer, and we release that now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. We worship you and praise and magnify you forever, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We need prayer for this line, for just change. Just would you like it if the Spirit of God came all over you? So here he is now. In Jesus' name. I suppose you're with her. Lift those hands. Bless it. You got a lot to live for, a lot to, oh Jesus, make it is. There is power in the name of Jesus, yes. Glory, we worship you, Father, we praise and magnify you. We rejoice in you, all is yours, we magnify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we lift up those members of the family. They're not here. We've got them right up, camped right before your throne. For Homer this morning, we just thank you. We know your will, God. We will not even begin, to ask you for something that's already ours. Healing is the children's bread. We just have the absolute privilege to enforce it. So, Father, we say in Jesus' name, no amputation there, but Father, just absolutely, when they come back in there, we say, Lord, let them check it again in Jesus' name. And Father, life is in that foot and life is in that toe in Jesus' name. We refuse every damnable report of the enemy, and we speak life and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We speak. That request came from Brenda, her husband. That tormenting thing, that lie. There's no dementia in Christ. Just a mind that is of heaven and a mind that is of Christ. So we curse that damnable thing in Jesus' name and the torment that has come, even in the night, by some of his messengers. We bind their path and everything that they're even trying to salute right now, get over and get done in that home. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we release your grace. Oh, Baselembreste, over this crowd in Jesus' name. Got pain in your body or anything besides for anybody else that's already worshiping, those of you that need a touch, just lift your hands. Magnify you. If you need something in your body, Father, we magnify you. Right now, Jesus, you paid the price, one consuming price. It did not matter the name of the disease or whatever the hurt was in the body. Everything was consumed under the majesty of the name of Jesus, and every knee bowing. Now I curse all pain, and I curse all of every infirmity that may be trying to rage in anybody's body in this house this morning. Lord, we just speak life, and your grace. Now I command it to go. Go in Jesus' name now. We release that now. We give you all the praise, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, Lord. Worthy, worthy is his name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Just lift him up. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Worthy, worthy, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Worthy, Lord. Worthy, worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. Blessed be the Lamb. Jesus, we worship you. Bless you, Jesus. Father, we just prophesy Life to the homes this morning in the name of Jesus. Life to the marriages in the name of Jesus. With those spirits these last days being poured out against the church and against the cause of revival, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you echo your glory in this house, not through or not because of man, but through the access that you have in us in authority, Father, we speak your life. We speak your life into those marriages, into those homes, to every diabolical scheme, plot, ploy coming from the enemy, coming from a place where it cannot be seen in the natural realm, but Lord, is invisible to the eye, but in the spirit, in Jesus' name. Lord, we release your glory into the homes and into the lives. Father, we pray that convicting power, that Lord, your glory will come into the minds and into the hearts in the name of Jesus. We pray that the shroud that has been trying to come and those things which have tried to move in unawares, Lord, we pray that the power of God even now begins to cut those things off in the name of Jesus. We pray that the communication process will be of an absolute pristine glory. We pray that, Father, that both will go into the glory of God. We pray that those spouses that are not represented here today, whether male or female, and those that are in this house, and those that will hear this message, as they hear this prayer, we pray that, Father, this prophetic prayer will release glory into the homes. We break asunder those assignments in the name of Jesus. Let them be broken asunder by the power of God in the name of Jesus. We pray that your glory, Father, will begin to flow, Lord. And Lord, we know this, we speak, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. We command fear to go. We command suspicion to go, unwarranted suspicion to go in the name of Jesus. We command those things of fear and paranoia to go in the name of Jesus. They're only a name, and we command them to come down in the name of Jesus. Every plot, every ploy, every scheme, every diabolical thing that the enemy has in mind in destruction, Lord, we release your glory and your anointing. Let these homes and the homes of those who hear our voice this morning receive the life and the grace of Almighty God in the name of Jesus. May the glory rest upon the children. May the fathers raise up as priests over their home and speak the word of God. We pray that everything in darkness will come to light, and that, Lord God, it will come as a conviction to their own hearts. Lord, and a conviction to our hearts, and we include ourselves in on these things. We stand in the light. There is nothing hid that shall not be revealed, nor anything kept secret except that it come abroad. Reveal your word in us and shine a light on every part, Lord, that there be no darkness. But that, Lord God, that we come into the light, prepare us as vessels of honor in this last day. Prepare us, Lord God, as a chaste virgin being prepared for a coming bridegroom. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Come to this region. Come to this earth, Lord. We invite you. We, as your bride, invite you, Lord. We glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to God. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Just stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. One more time, would you just lift those hands and just give him all the glory? We give you praise, Jesus. 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 We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now why don't you just take those arms that are lifted and give somebody a squeeze around. Say hi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Jim and Kathy Martin will be here next Sunday. And please Just do yourself a favor and be here. It'll be here Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And this will be, I think, the third year in a row that Jim has come. Kathy's come last year with him. Very, very powerful, powerful teaching ministry and a very strong prophetic ministry. And we just really want you to be able to. Jim said that he's been telling me just via texting that he's been getting more downloads from the Holy Spirit concerning his coming here and sharing with us concerning revival, than more downloads than he has ever gotten any place that he's ever been. And seems like every Saturday night I get these texts from Jim about, you know, Immokalee and everything that God's speaking to him about Immokalee. I'm thinking, man, you know, you got to preach the next morning to Dayton. You're God's just got you all into Immokalee. So we're pretty special, and they are too. But please be a part of those meetings. They're coming up, and they'll be here next week and bring somebody, especially if they love very strong teaching. Jim has got a Bible college that he's the chancellor of, and that some in our church are even a part of that college. Dr. Jim Martin, but he doesn't go by doctor. He's Jim, and his name is carried by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, hallelujah. This morning, we're going to give you, before we do anything else, an opportunity to continue to walk with us forward in faith concerning giving and receiving in Immokalee. And we do that confession: the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and all those wonderful things. And just as much as a part of all of those miracles are the miracles of the financial growth and the financial expansion that God wants to give us. And I heard Kenneth Hagin say one time, and I just couldn't hardly believe it when I heard it, but nevertheless, once I began to meditate it out, I thought, okay, I understand. He said the devil will fight a church that is, in essence, he was talking about on the move, trying to get someplace. He'll fight them stronger in their finances than he will even over salvations or souls. And I thought, well, no, wait a minute. Salvations or souls, they're the number one. But he said, look, here's the deal. You can get one saved. You can squeeze that out, or two saved, or sparsely here and there. But if he can basically keep you at a place where the anointing that you have cannot be propagated, or cannot be, we're not talking about a show of man. We're talking about an expansion that takes place where God says, do this, do that, put the cameras back there. And by the way, any of you that's given towards the camera ministry, that money is there for many of you that have given, others that has been discussed with. But that is coming about. That is coming about. We're just listening to God how to bring that forward. But Kenneth Hagin said he'll fight you more over the finances. Why? Because if he can keep you at a place where you can't go forward, all you'll ever do is just stay in that one spot. You'll just stay in that one spot. 25 years later, that's where you'll be. You'll just be in that one spot. Well, I say that Immokalee and this region is blessed and is under salvation. And the blind see and the lame walk, and hallelujah. We're not trying to build a big church, but we are trying to build the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. So you get to be a part of that every time you give. And so we just bless you this morning. If you're giving this morning, just make it out to the Family Prayer Center. And you've already greeted each other, but you can say hi coming down once again. So, Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this opportunity. We bless you, and we ask you, Lord, now to speak to our hearts once again in this giving. Most have prepared already, but Lord, if there are those that are still trying to hear your voice, we pray that your voice will be heard in them, and that, Lord, we receive now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So you can stand. Let's all stand together. And if you miss somebody in that last greeting, well, you can say hi once again, but go ahead and let's bring this down, and then just get ready for whatever else he has for us this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for the offering that's come in, Lord, and all of it that's coming in. Father, like Bronx said, Lord, that we're not going to have any lack in this house. And the financial part of it is a very, very big part of what we need and to go forward. So, Lord, as you increase, we thank you for it all in advance, Lord, and all the needs are met, not only in the house, but in everything that this ministry is going forward into doing. And Lord, we give you the glory and honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Worthy Jesus. Worthy Jesus. Just help me just a little bit more. Lift up those hands, just about half mask, and just begin to give him glory. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. There's none like you in all the earth, Jesus. We praise and glorify you. We praise and exalt you. We praise, and all of our adoration is on you, Jesus. There's none. Nobody loved us like you, Jesus. Nobody's ever cared for us to the extent that you've cared for us. Jesus, you are so wonderful, and you are so perfect. And Jesus, you've provided everything that we need for this journey. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Well, the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak. What are all that? It's all of the miracles that we've been claiming for a while. But one miracle that has not been held up is the miracle of just first you sitting there in the authority of the new nature. And then, despite anything that he could ever try against you, any kind of foolishness that he could try to employ against you, those of you that have chosen not to stop, the greatest thing that you have as a free moral agent is your own will. This is the most amazing and perhaps the most wonderment to me is the will. It's the will. Why that God, once he enters in and he comes in inside the new nature, once he comes in, if you're born again, you're born again. You can't almost be born again. It's like they said, you can't almost be pregnant. You are or you're not. You get under the power of the Holy Spirit. And once you're born again, once you come in, you got what I got and I got what you got. There was nothing, no different. He said, she loves. He had an experience as a little boy, or she had an experience as a little girl. It doesn't matter if they had an experience or didn't have an experience. It doesn't matter if you had a vision or didn't have a vision. It doesn't matter if this devil comes or doesn't come. I don't care. Hallelujah. They're all stupid. Hallelujah. But listen. Authority. I saw five of them go out the wall when I just grabbed this mic. The moment you got born again, the moment I got born again, it didn't matter if I saw a vision. It didn't matter who was praying over me and who laid hands on me during my up-and-coming ministry as I was growing up. Here's the thing. We all got the same. In other words, the DNA of the born-again spirit, it's all the same. You didn't lack anything. So what's the difference? What's the variable? What is the variable? What causes one person, what causes one teenager to go forward and say, okay, look, there's a lot on my plate. I think that's probably one of the hardest years, early 20s. You know, they're all They can all be challenging. But it's like all those variables, all those choices. Well, what causes one to that's born again to pick up and say, okay, I got all these things and I got all these temptations. And yet, and I need to make all these choices concerning where I'm going in life and what I'm going to be. But how is it that one can just kind of step up and say, okay, but the strongest prerequisite in my life, despite anything and everything else that's going to go on for the next 10 years, the strongest thing that I want is I want a walk with the Lord. So strong that other people, when they meet me in the business world or they meet me in life, they say, I don't have to go in with a big tag on, I'm a Christian. But they see something inside of me that after they do find out that I'm a Christian, they say, well, you're just not like the rest of the Christians that I've met. You're different. Well, what is that difference? Well, it's not that they got more saved. It doesn't matter who you are in life. It's not that you got more saved. You can't get more saved when you come in. The deal is this. What is offered to the new nature is this, a walk from the very beginning. Now, grant you, you may not go to a church like this, and I'm not saying we're the epitome. We're not the ones that have arrived. But you could sit in a church where the deception, most deception that people get comes from this. It comes from this, the pulpit. Because most Christians don't do enough to deceive themselves. They don't do enough to deceive themselves. They don't have a strong enough prayer life, or they don't go into the Word enough to even get it all mixed up. It's just kind of sitting there. They acknowledge it. They're born again. They're going to heaven. So usually they plug themselves into a church where somebody's telling them Sunday after Sunday, tongues are not for today. Or they'll take them just to the brink. Just to the brink. The brink is you must be born again. That's the brink. That's the door. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter into me, he'll come in and he'll sup with the Father. In other words, or he'll have relationship with the Father. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Every man must be born again. Jew, Gentile, everybody on this planet must be born again. Well, what about the babies? God gives them. He steps in, and I could give you scripture on that, but we're not teaching on that this morning. He'll actually transform them the moment they die in the womb, the moment they're aborted, or the moment they die a premature, unaccountable, they're not being accountable. God gives them a new nature. But everybody that goes into that place has a new nature or a nature like Christ. The door is that you must be born again. Once you step over into him, then that's where the journey begins. But my God, what a travesty, what a horrible, I mean a horrible thing for people that will get to heaven and find out all they ever did was hang around the door. All they ever did was hanging around the door. The next thing that takes place when you come into Christ, God does not give you, according to Scripture, well, preachers will give you a Bible to say, here, take this Bible and go to all, we're going to show you the way to be discipled. Listen. The Bible's wonderful. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Jesus, it's the very thing. It was the sword in which Jesus quoted against. It's the very foundation of our salvation is this word. But listen, the moment that you got born again, all of the revelation that you would learn for the next 20 years could not be imputed in you at one time. It could not be given to you at one time. It was not like a computer chip that could go into you at one time and you could say, oh, I've got it all. Now I didn't know nothing 5 minutes ago and I know everything now. That's impossible. You can take this word and line on line, precept on precept, month after month, year after year, day after day. You can grow and learn and be taught. But one thing, or I should say one person that can be given at the moment, in the introduction, Jesus said, once you're born again, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The next person in line, Jesus introduces you to the Holy Ghost. Did you see that wonderful play that they did last week? And that outstanding Oscar award winning performance by Jesus. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And how that Jesus introduced this beautiful young lady co-starring with Jesus, and we had a good director,
But how that he introduced her to the Holy Spirit and he breathed the breath of life into her. Now, once you begin this journey in the Holy Spirit, then he can begin to teach you. But listen, a lot of people don't come to a church like this. Most of the people, most Christians that you know, they're entering in, or they go to a church where mostly is taught is the door, just the door. And if there is a knowledge, if there is a knowledge about speaking in tongues, if there's a knowledge about what it does for you, it's very underground. It's hidden. It's hidden. It's hardly ever talked about. Well, listen, if you go to a church, if you're hearing my voice via internet, if you go to a church and you're interested in praying in tongues, please write us, call us, talk to us. We will not try to take you away from your church. We will simply introduce you to a walk of the Spirit and a walk of power. And one of those first steps that you need to get is Pastor Dave Roberson's book. It's called Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power. And you can get it free. You can download it via internet, and you can read it. Just go to daveroberson.org, and you can read his book. Now, we have a few of them in stock, and we give those out from time to time. But the first base after the door is the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. We talk to people sometimes, and we'll say, is that a Spirit-filled church? They're going to that church, and people say, I'm not sure. What do you mean? Listen, if they're not standing in the pulpit every Sunday or almost on a continual basis and saying, let me turn you over. Listen, let me turn you over to someone that is stronger than you, and his name is the Holy Ghost. They're doing you a terrible injustice. Well, I go to this church, and there's 5,000, and wonderful. I hope there's 50,000 there. But how often does your neighbor, do you stand next to your neighbor and hear them speaking in a language that is not their native language? How often do you hear your pastor that's standing in the pulpit speak in this language? You say, well, 1 Corinthians 14 says, that should not be done in public. If you hear me speak up here publicly out loud, where you may hear me praying in my edification tongue, but if I speak out loud over and above you to where it gains your attention, I promise you the Holy Spirit will follow it with a word of interpretation so that there will be no confusion. You'll understand what's going on. If sinners come in here and we're praying in tongues, it won't be long before I'll speak something to let them know what's going on. There are diversities of tongues. Diversities means there are numbers of different uses for the tongue. But the number one tongue that the Holy Spirit gives you on a personal basis is the tongue for personal edification. And if your pastor is not teaching you that, then God bless him. He may love the Lord, but he is doing you a terrible injustice by not turning you over to the Holy Spirit. Because the will of man is incredible. Why does someone go to one place and another person go to another? Well, it's selective. It's selective it's selective option. God has laid his hand on that. No. What causes one woman or one man to go to another place in God where other people look at them and say, I want to walk like that. I don't see him just going off at work. I don't see him cussing everybody else out. If they do, they say, God, forgive me, right in front of everybody. I don't see them getting up on Sunday morning hungover and hung out, and they've, you know, been at the club or someplace all night before. Their witness is God has changed. Listen, the strongest witness that the church has towards the world is that we're different. Not weird, but different. Happy, not sad that we're in this. Most of the time when we go out to a restaurant, you and I and some of the elders in here, Candy or somebody has to say, Bront, we need to settle it down. We're the loudest bunch in here. Of course, we're laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and just having a good time, and there's not a bottle of wine at the table. Hallelujah. That bunch, yeah, everybody's looking over there going, give me two of what they've got. I want two of what they got. And we're like, it's just iced tea, you know. I mean, we're just having a good time. We're just happy to be here. We're happy to be alive. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, we're glad to be going to heaven. We're glad to be going to heaven. And the greatest thing that you need to understand is you have a will, and your will should be set to get to know God. If you go to a church where they don't teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you need to say, I need to investigate this. How can I find out about this Holy Spirit that will take me to the next level? Because you need to understand that if without Him, even though you're going to go to heaven if you've asked Christ into your life, you can be wandering around in a maze half your life trying to figure out what life is about. And every time something punches you in the face, every time there's a marital problem or a financial problem or a mental problem or some kind of sin problem where something is just waning on top of you and it feels like, God, it's not going to go away, you can say, well, I am a Christian, but you can remain a powerless Christian all your life and just get beat up and get beat up and get beat up. Well, that Christian over there, they don't seem to be like that. Why? Well, it's not because God loves them more. It's always for this reason. It's because God has, at some point, they've heard. Like if you're not going to church like this and you're sitting there week after week, what about those people? What about when they die and go to heaven? What if they sit there 50 years and never heard about the Holy Spirit and they die and go to heaven? Listen, and they live in bondage. What's going to happen to them? One, their teacher or their pastors are going to be severely reprimanded by the Lord. They may make it into heaven, and I'm going to be very kind here and say they're going to make it into heaven. But Jesus said, look, when you said that I cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, he goes on to explain there in Matthew chapter 11. He said, look, Satan's army or Satan's kingdom is very organized. Well, sometimes we'll call him stupid around here, but we don't do that flippantly. I do that knowing that I stand inside of Christ. My boldness is in Christ, and I understand who I am and what I am in Him. I understand also, in contrary, almost to a paradox to that, Satan is very, very smart. He's a methodical genius when it comes to destroying people's lives. And when Jesus cast out the dumb spirit out of that man, and then the Pharisees and the religious leaders were standing there, and they said, look, you're casting out a devil by Beelzebub, which is the prince of the devils. Jesus turns to them after the deliverance takes place, and he says this, Satan cannot cast out Satan. Now I'm paraphrasing. If he casts himself out, how can his kingdom stand? In other words, if he destroys his stronghold that he has, how is he ever going to continue to build strength if he fights himself? Jesus said he will not fight himself. He will not cast himself out. He said if this is a, he lays that foundation. He says if that is the truth, in essence, if Satan will not cast out Satan, then he said, who do your children, or he said to the Pharisees, in other words, who do your disciples, the ones that have been trained under your ministry, you Pharisees, you pomped and circumstance kind of Pharisees that are the men of God in the pulpit of the day. He said, let's let your disciples, disciples answer best for people. In other words, wisdom is justified of its children. If I'm preaching truth and you guys are performing truth, it's a tremendous compliment to me. It's a tremendous compliment. Jesus said, we're going to let your disciples answer for you. If Satan cannot cast out Satan, then by whom are your children or your disciples casting out devils? Let them be the judge in this. And what he was saying was they were powerless. There was no demonic exorcism taking place until Christ come along and stepped up, because the crowds were going, wow, nobody spake like this man. With authority, he cast out devils. They were not used to that. The Pharisees' disciples, they were not casting out devils. And Jesus said, look, Satan cannot cast out Satan, But if I with the finger of God cast him out, then the kingdom of God has come to you. In other words, Satan can't cast out himself, but only God can cast out Satan. Well, then what about your disciples? Let them be your judges. Let's see. Here's deductive reasoning. I love the way Jesus thinks. Look, Satan can't cast out Satan. And if he can't, only God can cast out Satan. But you say, I'm casting out Satan by Satan. Well, what about your disciples? Who are they casting out Satan by? Well, let's see. Everybody's saying, I hadn't seen any of these guys in 50 years cast out the devil. Well, what does that mean? Well, if they can't cast him out, he just told us Satan can't cast out Satan. That means they're working with the devil. They're co-ordinated with him. They can't cast him out because they're part of his own kingdom. But if they can't cast him out, then in contrary, he just cast him out. That means he is of God. That must mean this man is of God. And Jesus said, look, every sin will be forgiven man, even the sin against the Son of Man. But the sin of blasphemy of the Spirit will not be forgiven in this life or into the life to come. Now listen, usually that's preached like, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's over, it's done, you forget it. Listen, that's not what he was saying. That's not what he was saying, because what he was saying was this. He was saying, look, these guys, these Pharisees standing around me, they know that I just cast out a devil. And they know that God is the only one that can cast him out, although they attributed the work that I just did to a work of the devil. And he said, look, you better be careful, because what you've done is you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. What you've said is you've contributed the works of God to the works of the devil, when only God himself can do this. Now listen, he would not have, he'd not have put a pigtail on it like this. It will not be forgiven in this life or even in the life to come. If it was just a done deal, forget it, you're toast. It's over. He wouldn't have put on or in the life to come. It had just said, you're hell-bent. What he was saying was this. There's a lot of preachers that'll stand up week after week after week, and they'll say, look, healing's not for today. Tongues are not for today. Miracles are not for today. Tongues of people that are our brothers that are speaking in, or men that are speaking in tongues, that's just a deceptive spirit. That's a demonic spirit. And those guys are getting thousands born again, and they themselves are born again. But in the same essence of what Jesus was saying, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, look, when you get to heaven, why did he say then you could, the Son of Man, The sin against the Son of Man would be forgiven, but not the Holy Spirit, because he is the door. You can get inside the door by saying, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. You can step inside the door, but then after you get inside the door, you can say all kinds of stupid stuff that doesn't even relate to who he was that got you inside concerning the Spirit that got you in there. Oh, the blood got me in there. He said, oh, yeah, but you're not going to say anything about him because he got you in. But once you get in, you can say, that's of the devil, that's of the devil. We're not going to talk about tongues because that's of the devil. Jesus said it won't be forgiven. In other words, it will not be excused in this life. In other words, you will not walk in power, nor in the world to come. When you get there, there'll be a tremendous loss. You might make it in, but there'll be a tremendous loss. And that's what most of the preachers that stand behind the pulpit and do not introduce their congregations over to the Holy Spirit and then go on to contribute those things to the Holy or to the enemy. But listen, you've got this elective. You don't have to have anybody come around and beat you on top of the head. You can say, look, I've got a born-again experience. If I'm ever going to walk into God, it's not going to be because God comes and gets a hold of me. God's already got a hold of me. Here's the miracle of the will. I want more of him. I choose more of him. What's the first step? Praying in other tongues. I'll go forward, and then I understand this mystery. As I pray, Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over me. Why? Because he says you're not under the law anymore. You're not under a dispensation where there was no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now you're in a place where you say, look, if something comes in my home, if something comes against my marriage or a temptation comes against my life, it is absolutely impossible for Satan to make you do anything you don't want to do. Well, I cussed him out. I just was put to that point, and he just made me do it, Pastor. Oh, no. No, sin doesn't have, well, she was pretty. Now, you kind of started a little bit on Wednesday night. Vic, have you spoke before in tongues? Gotten close. Kind of? Okay, perfect. Okay. Anybody else that would like to receive this gift before we get started? Okay. The first thing I want you guys to do is the three of you could just look, and then Beth, you're going to kind of get a refreshing this morning. Let me just do a couple of minutes of teaching, because an ounce, it's like, you know how they always say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, if you can get something in somebody's mind and help them to understand how simple it really is. Now, I'm not going to teach you how to speak in tongues. I'm just going to be a catalyst by which the power flows to you. Now, Jesus said this, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the unction. Now, I just know that because the four of you are standing up here already, that you've already received Christ in your life. Is that correct? Okay, I was assured of that. I just wanted to make sure. So once you ask Christ in your life, Christ comes in and changes you on the inside. The next thing, as we've talked about this morning, he wants to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, this is the way the apostles did it in the beginning. They laid hands on the people and then said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing I want you to just relax in this is the scripture says that Jesus taught them, and he said, if you, being a child, would ask of your parent an egg or let's say a sandwich or something to eat, he said, in no wise would your father give you a serpent or scorpion, and neither would he if you asked for the Holy Spirit. So I say that to say that's kind of a fruit of a teaching, but it kind of illustrates this. We're all of us going to ask for the Holy Spirit. I already speak in tongues, but you guys are going to in the next couple of minutes. And I just say that to relieve the fear, because Jesus said this, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you can't get nothing else. In other words, you can't get something weird, and it's not going to be you. We're just going to ask him in simple, childlike faith, give me the Holy Spirit in praying in other tongues, and then that's going to happen. The second or third thing is this, that I say, and it makes sense once you understand it, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. In other words, he's the one that gives the language. He fills you up. But I say that to get a point across is you can kind of grit your teeth, or you can kind of just stand there and just wait for the Holy Spirit to just kind of make you speak in tongues. And that's not going to happen, because he's such a gentleman. He's not going to make you do something that's against your will. He's going to encourage you to do it. In other words, so you can just, or a lot of times, sometimes people will just keep saying, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, and they think the Holy Spirit's going to take that over. You can't do that, because he's not going to interrupt that. He'll let you praise Jesus all day long, because kind of that's his job. So here's the deal. You kind of have to step off. Does sis, big sister need to keep them that way? It'll be, can you kind of help, please? That way they can really concentrate. Thanks. Appreciate that. So it's kind of like this. It's kind of like you can, it's like you're stepping off a cliff, you know, and it's like there's nothing but air there. But what you have to do is you kind of have to relax, and I'll go through this with you. We'll all pray together, and then we'll kind of breathe in and breathe out and relax. And then as I lay hands on you, I'm just going to say receive. At that point in time, it's just an exercise of faith. It's just exercise of faith. It's not, the Holy Spirit's not going to body slam you. He's not going to, you can stand there, like I said, and say, I love you, Jesus, all day. And he's never going to stop you from doing that, because he's not a weird spirit. It's like you got to yield to him. But if you start letting your mouth move and your tongue, just start letting your tongue move and letting air go over your tongue, just like you were about to talk to somebody, you'll find out that there'll be a corresponding faith that says, okay, I'm creating these words. Then whatever you're kind of hearing in your mind, let that kind of surface, and it'll just be beautiful. It'll be just real beautiful. It'll be the Holy Spirit. So are we ready? Okay. Do we believe? Amen. So, okay, let's all pray this prayer together. And everybody out there, let's say this. Father, I thank you for the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said that if I ask for the Holy Ghost, I would not get anything else. I'm asking you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. I believe that I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you'll just kind of, all of us, let's just take a big breath. Just let it out. Just relax. Hallelujah, Jesus. Release. That's him. That's right. You're doing it. That's right. I assure you. That's him, brother. Amen. He's filling you up right now. That's right. Those are his words. That's his words. I assure you. By witness of the Spirit, that's his words. Very good. Very good. Ruben, come and stand here and just pray in front of him. Just keep him going. He's praying the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, honey. Jesus, receive. Receive. Just start moving those lips. That's right. Encourage. Father, right now, oh man, he loves you so much. I can feel the Spirit on you. There he is. Go ahead. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. You know that grin's from him? It's an assurance. It's an assurance. Oh, keep just repeat the same words over and over, whatever you hear. There you go. There you go. Oh, you're doing it. Just a little loud. There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. Rex, he's already going. So just stand there and pray in tongues. Just keep him praying in tongues. Hallelujah. They're all going. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep them going. Just let them keep. Let's all keep praying in tongues. Let's all keep praying in tongues. Let's create an atmosphere. All right, let's just stop for just a second. And he was going. Yes, she's going. Vic, I could see you. You go. I tell you to start with, you think, is this really me and am I really doing this? You really were. I'm telling you, as much as I know I'm a preacher, you really were, okay? Listen. I want you guys to go out of here thinking this isn't a spooky spiritual thing. It's just a real life something. The day I got born again, I don't know if you guys got born again in a coffee shop or a car or a church or whatever, but wherever it was, you probably didn't see Jesus walk through the wall. It was like, okay, I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to take it by faith, and then as a result, then you just got born again. This is the same way. You receive the baptism in the same faith. Like, I'm not seeing anybody walk through a wall. There's no bright light coming down. It's just, okay, I'm receiving this by faith. As you keep going in it, you'll get more confident and more confident. Now, this is not a rule or anything. I'm just going to do this as a practical practicum. Okay, I'm going to count to three, and everybody in here, and I guess everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit, or you'd have been up here. Everybody in here, we're just going to start like because we want to, just because we want to, okay? Just like taking a drink of water, okay? One, two, three. Even if it's one word over and over, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Amen, amen. God bless. Hallelujah. God bless. Beth, you have a book that he can read too that Dave has. Did he? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We bless you today. We had a wonderful day in the Lord. Amen. So go out of here blessed. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for all of these. We ask you, Lord, that you'll continue to lay your hand upon them. Give them the confidence to pray in the Spirit. Lord, I thank you that these things are taking place in their life and will continue in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Give somebody a great big hug as you're leaving today. Amen.